Let's get ready to study God's Word. Greetings to one and all. Welcome to another episode of Rightly Divide the Word of Truth. This is Andrew S. Baker, and it's time for another devotional study. Please be sure to visit us at biblestudy.asbzone.com, where you can find links to our previous episodes and various Bible study resources. Let's have a word of prayer before we get into our study today. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your mercy to us. We want to thank you for being patient and kind, long-suffering. We ask that you'll please grant us your Holy Spirit. Help us as we enter into your word that we will understand the things that we are studying and rightly apply them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, today's study is entitled Service and Salvation. And our verse, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, which says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Service and salvation. I was having a conversation with a good friend of mine earlier this week, and one of the things that we were discussing was just the way that God works in our lives and the way that He seeks our eternal good, even when we're getting caught up in things, worried about the present, worried about temporal issues. And sometimes God doesn't solve our problems, the problems that we are concerned about, because He knows that in so doing, it would jeopardize our eternal salvation, which is what He is more interested in. And we had a little discussion. I've been thinking about this for a while, mostly because of my own issues. But one of the things that I recognize, I see it in the stories in Scripture, and I see it in my own experience. Some days ago, almost a week now, I came across an interesting meme which kind of got me thinking along this path. And in the meme, it was a video short. And in that short, there's a guy sitting in his car, just looking, glancing around. And he doesn't say anything. It's a silent video. It's very short. And he puts the text up that basically says, "Sometimes I see people around me doing, what did he say? The gist of it was they're doing illegal things for money. And they're comfortable. Nothing is happening to them. Everything is working just fine. And he knows that if he were to even think of doing something like that, the Lord would punish him straight away as an example to others." And it made me chuckle not because it's unimportant, not because it's not a serious topic, but it's kind of a different way of saying something that the Bible talks about, envying the wicked, right? The only reason to envy the wicked is for their outcomes. Right? Nobody who's talking about envying the wicked is desirous of doing wickedness. But they're noticing that the wicked are able to be free and uncaring about what they do and still end up with good results, right? Short-term results. And the fact that the Bible highlights that as a theme every now and then, Psalm 73 in particular, this idea that God's people sometimes look at the wicked with envy, not because they want to do wickedness, but because they know that they're struggling to do righteousness. And these other folks could care less about righteousness and are still getting good outcomes. Right? A lot of times you look at people who are ungodly, and I don't necessarily mean to say wicked in this case, but ungodly, not serving God, and their life seems carefree, or at least from our perspective, right? And so when I saw that little snippet, it made me realize that as believers, we have ditches that we have to worry about. And one of the key reasons that God gives us service to others, service and ministry, one of the key reasons that is important to our salvation is not for the work's sake, right? It's not for the work's sake. We know that our works don't merit us anything. God saves us and then keeps us in a saved condition by giving us assignments. It's not the only thing, but we're focusing on the assignments today, right? We haven't left the realm of grace, but we're pointing out that God knows that if we're idle or focused on ourselves, we run into one of two major problems. The first problem is we start to see ourselves as better than others. We know more. We have greater responsibility. We are exposed to more information about the gospel. And due to the human tendency for metrics, right? Wanting to know where we stand, wanting to know if we're approved, wanting to know if everything is okay. We gravitate to that. Even those of us who know that the gospel is not about works, who know that there's no inherent merit on our part. When you're doing what God requires of you, it is easy to start to think highly of yourself, because you're doing the right thing, right? And we gravitate to that so easily. On the opposite side of that, when we're being extra careful not to end up in that spot, we can get into a depressed state. We can fall into despair or frustration whenever we notice that we're struggling in our Christian walk, that we're doing some of the stuff we know not to do, that we are not doing our devotions or not consistently, or we're kind of sleepwalking through things. We're doing things by form, right? It's formalism. We're just doing it because we do it. And there are times when we see that and we think to ourselves, I know all of this. I've been exposed to all of this. I've been given all of this grace. And I'm still in the same place that I've been. And we can despair. So that's one path to letting everything go and just falling away, the despair of our shortcomings. Then on the other side of that is, well, you know what? I may be going through this, but at least I'm trying. At least I'm not doing what that person is doing or this person is doing. At least I'm staying out of this kind of trouble or that kind of trouble. It is a very interesting challenge, but the root of both of those problems is a focus on self. Root of both of those problems is a focus on self. Either being overwhelmed with our failures and struggles, or being overjoyed at our apparent successes. Both of those scenarios have selfishness or excessive self-focus at the heart of them, and both will end you up in a bad place relative to God, right? Because we're so prone to that, some of us more than others, there are things that God cannot do for us if he would also honor our request to be saved. When we pray to him and ask him to guide us and keep us and save us, we tend to think in terms of, don't want physical problems, don't really want to get hurt, don't want my family hurt, but also, you know, lead me not into temptation. So I don't need any temptation. I don't want any of this. I need to get above that. I need to get beyond that. But James points out that it is through overcoming temptation, not merely avoiding it, but overcoming it, that our faith is perfected, right? Let patience have her perfect work. That doesn't mean we need to run headlong into temptation. I've done a couple of podcasts on that topic. We should not be looking for ways to be tempted. We should not be picking the most torturous path in an attempt to overcome temptation. That's not what we should do. But we should also not expect that God is going to shield us 100% from temptation. He promises that with the temptation, there will be a way of escape, right? Because it's growth that we need. In focusing on the needs of others, we find major relief relative to worrying about our own struggle or being way too confident about our own struggle, right? Let him that think he standeth take heed lest he fall. That's the nature of that counsel. Don't be too confident about your situation. Be confident that God is doing something for you. Be confident that God is guiding you. But don't be confident that you are following properly, right? It's the emphasis. There's a difference between looking at God leading you and being grateful that he's leading you, as opposed to turning it around and being grateful that you're following properly and that you know how to follow better than others and that, right? We have to be careful. We have to seek God's strength, his direction, his will. We need to have the mind of Christ. Most perfect person on earth came, lived, died, and didn't spend all of his days showing off about how much better he was than everyone else. But service is important, and that's what our verse was about. Think about it. In 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Then Paul says, Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. We often pay attention to verse 9, My grace is sufficient for thee. And we should. That's a comforting verse. It's a powerful verse. But for me, it's interesting to see the Apostle Paul point out that God gave him some sort of liability, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. He gave him some kind of avenue where Satan had more than average attack capabilities against him. And Paul recognized, or was told, that the reason this was given him was so that he didn't get big-headed, given the incredible responsibility that God had bestowed upon him. Incredible responsibility. The man is responsible for more than 50% of the New Testament in terms of writing, significant theology, two of the most sublime books in the New Testament being Romans and Hebrews. He's responsible for set up multiple churches. So much Paul was responsible for. And God knew that if God did not do this, there would be a problem. And the apostle could be exalted above measure. And we already have plenty of stories where someone who is highly favored gets out of hand. Lucifer being the biggest scenario that we know about, but there are others. King Uzziah, Saul, King Saul went that way, right? At one point, David, there's a recurring theme. We all wish we could be David and Solomon and Abraham and Job. I don't know how many people want to be Job. Job's story is pretty clear. But a lot of people wish that their financial problems were addressed the way that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, right? And maybe we should just say Abraham and Isaac. Jacob had some points where he was not doing too well financially. But it's not everybody in the Bible God could bless financially, because not everybody would be able to handle it. You know, I've often thought about the two women that Elijah and Elisha dealt with and the miracles that were done for them. The widow woman that Elijah deals with the food, where he stayed during the time of famine, for some portion of the time of famine. I think about that. I think about the fact that she had to have a miracle every day. God provided just enough food for the day. And each day there had to be some faith that this thing was going to keep happening. And you see later when her son dies that she goes through a crisis of sorts. And it's from that scenario that she has a proper understanding of God. And from there, we don't see her again in the scripture. We don't deal with her. In Elisha's case, we have the woman who is a widow, recent widow, with two sons. And her husband owed some debts. The family owed some debts. Her husband just died. And now she needs a miracle. And God saw fit to give her all of the money she needed at once. What I see in that story two different people who could handle blessings differently. And God blessed them accordingly. Right? So if you're not getting the blessing you think you should be getting, understand that it might have something to do with you. Right? And I'm not picking on you because I already know what my weaknesses are and why I have certain things and don't have other things. And I know that. And I am simultaneously grateful to God for caring about me enough in the long term that he's okay with depriving me. I don't know if I should even say it that way. With handling me and my needs in a particular way so that my eternal good is the primary objective. But I also desire his strength that I don't have to be limited that way, right? And so his will be done ultimately, because I do want eternal life as opposed to temporal blessings. If I can only have one or the other, the eternal is much better than the temporal. But I also would like to grow in a way that could address the temporal if need be. Paul said something to Timothy that's important. In 1 Timothy 4, verses 15 and 16, he said, "Meditate upon these things." He's been saying a lot of things in the first part of the letter. "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Ministering to others. In this case, he was going to minister in the word primarily, but the Lord calls us to minister to others. He could have made salvation a process whereby we just dealt with God and angels directly. But God has designed salvation so that those who are saved becomes a train the trainer scenario. Those who are saved go back to help those who are lost. Right? And he does it because the more we can avoid focusing on ourselves, the better of a position we can be in to avoid those two ditches. The ditch of, oh, woe is me, I am making no progress, I am worthless. And the other ditch of, well, at least I'm better than those people. At least I'm not doing that. At least I learned that lesson. Both of those ditches need to be avoided. And the proper way to do so is to focus on helping others. Now, I want to make a point. You can get lost in service too. Formalism doesn't just come about in basic worship. We can still get to a place where we're either lifted up because of what we're doing, or a third angle, right? Not the other two, not despair and not hubris, but getting so much into the work, into the ministry, that we lose our own hold and focus on Christ. We don't take time to operate with him and to interact with him. We don't take time for our relationship with him. We're always in some sort of service mode. So that is a concern. That is something that we have to guard against. But again, if we take the time to worship God properly in our personal devotions, he will guide us properly for ministry and service. And we need ministry and service, not because of the works, but because by focusing on the needs of others, we will rely on God to do the right thing, to help us to do the right thing, to help us to rightly represent him. And it will take our minds and our focus off of our problems or our successes. Service and salvation. Service is important. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. There is salvation in following the processes that God has outlined for us. It doesn't become a works-based religion just because you pay attention to what God asked you to do. Right? We need to understand that. We need to appreciate that. 2 Corinthians 12:7 again says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Let's be grateful for the ways in which God is protecting our eternal interests. And by his grace, let's give up whatever it is that needs to be given up. Let's seek his strength so that he's able to save us with less difficulty from us. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We want to thank you for helping us to recognize that your primary purpose is not just to take care of our daily needs, which you don't overlook, but to prepare us, fit us for your kingdom and for service to others. Please bless us, help us that as we minister to others, that we'll do so in the right way, that we will not overlook our own time of relationship and growth with you. Please forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. You can reach us via email at BibleQuestions@ASBZone.com. We look forward to hearing from you, whether you have questions, comments, suggestions, or concerns. We also recommend that you check out the True Wisdom podcast, where Robert and I discuss Bible stories and topics together. Both of these podcasts can be found on over a dozen platforms, including Google, Apple, Spotify, and Amazon. Please remember our ministries in your prayers. Until we meet again next time, may God richly bless you as you prayerfully study and share his holy word.